Let's read a scripture from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It says, beginning with verse 1, "Now faith is the ground, substance, confidence of things hoped for. It's the evidence or proof of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet is spoken of, and yet speaketh. And by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went or where he was going. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past the age of bearing children, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, Abraham, 100 years old. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, these all died in faith, not having received the fulfillment of the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Now this is the title of my message, "These All Died in Faith." And that's my text, verse 13, "These All Died in Faith." In days gone by, not so much today as it was then, it was a custom to write some words on a person's tombstone. They don't do that very much nowadays, but it was very popular back years ago. And if you go through cemeteries where people were buried a long time ago, you can read various things on the tombstone. And usually these words have some reference to how this person died, or when he died, or how he lived, or what he believed. That's what you'll usually find. You'll find how he died, some reference to in the service, or so forth. Or how he lived, something about old age and faithfulness and what he believed. I think Job had that in mind when he wrote over in Job 19. He said this. He said, "Oh, that my words were written in a book. Oh, that they were engraved in the stone, in the rock, with a lead pen forever. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that on this earth he shall stand. And though after my flesh worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I'll see the Lord." He seemed to be saying, "Write that on my tombstone." I visited Spurgeon's grave in London, and they've written on his tombstone these words, the words of the hymn, "There's a Fountain Filled with Blood." And they picked this verse to write on Spurgeon's tomb. "Ever since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme, and will be till I die." That's what he preached and what he believed, and those words are on his tombstone. I read one time that, and this was the custom. I wish it was still the custom. I like it. I like to walk through cemeteries and read these things. But there's a little grave down in a southern town and a tombstone that marks the grave of a child, an unknown child. It seems that during a flood many, many years ago, the body of a small boy was found and never identified. And people buried him, and they erected a tombstone and two words on the tombstone: "God knows. God knows." Well, it seems like in this scripture that I've just read, the Lord has presided over the death of these people: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and all the others he names. Like he presides over the death of all of his people. He said, "I kill and I make alive. The number of man's days are with the Lord. He appoints our bounds and we cannot pass. Not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father, let alone a believer falls to the ground. He watches over the death of his children. He presides over the death of his children. He watches over the burial of their bodies. And our God seems to erect a giant sepulchre here containing the bodies of all of his people, where they'll sleep until the great resurrection. And these words for that great mausoleum or sepulchre are very appropriate: these all died in faith. These all died in faith." Wouldn't you say that would be appropriate for all believers of all ages? "These all died in faith. We shall sleep," the hymn writer wrote, "we shall sleep, but not forever. There will be a glorious dawn, and one day we'll meet to part, no, never, on that resurrection morning. Yea, from the deepest caves of oceans, from the deserts and the plain, from the valleys and the mountains, all his sheep shall rise again. We shall sleep, but not forever, in a lonely and silent grave. Blessed be the Lord who take it, blessed be the Lord who gave. But in that bright eternal city, death will never, never come. And in his own good time, he'll call us from this place to that eternal home." This text that I've selected, "These all died in faith," I want to ask three questions. Three very simple questions. All of these believers he's talking about here and through the ages, these all died in faith. Here are my three questions. How did they die? It says in faith. The second question will be, what is this faith in which they died? And thirdly, how did this faith appear before they died? They died in faith, but how did it appear and how did it reveal itself before they died? so that we might know they did die, didn't they? All right, let's take them one. First of all, how did these people die? It says they all died in faith. And you know, I almost want to take this word by word. In verse 13, Hebrews 11 says, these all died. These. Who are these? Some of the greatest names ever named. Abel died. Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, but Abel died. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah lived hundreds of years, and Noah built an ark, and everybody knows about Noah, but Noah died. Enoch walked with God. Enoch didn't die, but Enoch was taken away from the earth. Abraham, the man of God, he died. These men all knew God, and God knew them, but every one of them died. Every one of them. And I'll tell you, what's written about them is written about us. We'll die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And let me show you another thing about these all died in faith. Even though they had faith, they died. Faith's not going to keep you from death. It's not going to keep me from death. It's not going to keep us from sometimes a difficult death. I've watched children of God die. I've watched them die peacefully. I've watched them die traumatically. You have to. We've watched believers die. We've watched them die quickly. We've watched it take a long time. But these all died. Actually, all of the apostles but one died martyr's death. Beheaded, crucified. Only John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, but the rest of them died. And some of God's people have died some excruciatingly painful deaths. They all died. Faith's not going to keep you from death. Faith's not going to keep you from trouble and trial and suffering, and faith's not going to keep you from the grave. Moses died as well as Pharaoh. David died as well as the Philistines. Jacob died as well as Esau. Peter died, and so did Judas. Saints died, and so do unbelievers. These all died. That day's coming. I read some time ago in one of Brother Barnard's messages, printed message. He told about, there's a pastor in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't remember his name, but he went to visit one of his members who was dying. The man wasn't very old. He was in his 50s. And the pastor went to visit him, and in the course of the conversation, the man began to weep, and he said, Pastor, I don't want to be harsh and unkind, but he said, I want you to know something. You hadn't prepared me for this hour. He said, I've heard you preach time and time and time again. But he said, this thing has come upon me suddenly and unawares and unexpected, and you hadn't prepared me to meet this hour. But I hope that I've prepared you, because I'm saying again to myself and to you, we're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And you young people, there's some short graves out there as well as long ones. And you young people in high school here in Ashland, you know what happened last week? How old was that young man? 18? But he's just as dead as if he had been 25 or 75 or 95. He's dead. And we're going to die. These all died. They died. But now, thank God, they died in faith. And this is the most important thing. They believed God while they lived, and they continued to believe God until they died. They died in faith. Learn three things. The great foundation of faith is the Word of God. The great object of faith is the blood of Christ. Christ's blood and his righteousness. That's the object of faith. Foundation of faith. He said it, I believe it. I believe it because he said it. And the object of my faith is Christ. But the great mark of faith is perseverance. These men continued to believe. They continued to believe. The just shall live by faith. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Don't quit. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. They began in faith. They lived in faith. They died in faith. And I'll tell you this. Now watch this. These all died in faith. Abraham believed God. Noah believed God. They never got beyond faith. Never got beyond it. I'm suspicious of people who talk about visions and signs and revelations and things that take the place of faith. These men never got beyond faith. Abel, Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, all of these people lived by faith in the promises of God. And they died in faith believing the promises of God. And they never got beyond trusting God or looking to God by faith. Someday I'll see him face to face, but now I see through a glass dimly, just like you. Someday I shall know even as I'm known, but right now I know in part, just like everybody else. Brother man, you've been a believer a long time. Yes, since 1950. When I heard the gospel in 1950, I heard the gospel of God's grace. I believed that I was a sinner. I believe the same thing now, 43 years later. I believe that God's almighty. I believed it then. That's what I believe now. I believed then that salvation is of the Lord. That's what I believe now. I believe that the righteousness of Christ, his perfect righteousness, gave to me acceptance with God, gave to me holiness and righteousness. That's what I believed then, 43 years ago. That's what I believe right now. I believe that Jesus Christ's blood cleanseth us from all sin. He died on that cross to redeem my soul. I look to him then. I look to him right now. I don't believe any more now than I did then. And I'll die. I'm almost 70 years old, and God said 70. If you got to go beyond that, it's the blessings of God, the mercy of God. But I'll tell you this, when I lie down to die, I'm going to die believing the same thing I believed 43 years ago. Is that right, Cecil? No more, no less. My hope, back then I sang, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope today is built on that very same thing. I may preach 10,000 sermons and been to 10,000 places to preach 10,000 sermons, but it doesn't add one thing to the redemption of my souls in Christ. In Christ. Never has been anywhere but in Christ. It is not now. It won't be then. And the newest believer and the oldest believer believe the same thing and have the same confidence, the same assurance, the same love, the same grace, the same reward, the same Redeemer. I wish I could emphasize that. I wish I could. These all died in faith. That's what it said. They died in faith. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, but oh, the joy when I wake in the palace of the King, and I'm going to see him face to face. And I'm going to tell the story, what? Saved by grace. Grace alone. Works has never entered in. It hasn't. Didn't then. It has never has. It will never. That's so. These all died in faith. They died. They died even though they had faith. They continued in faith. And that's the way they died in faith. Died believing God. Died believing Christ. Died believing the blood maketh atonement for the soul. That's it. I believe there's a maturity and a growth in grace, in love, in faith, in patience, in humility, in experience, in understanding, and all these. Faith is faith. Faith is believing Christ. Faith is trusting Him, resting in Him. That's it. And He's the Redeemer. All right, here's the second question. What was this faith in which they died? What was this faith? I'll tell you what it was. These all died in faith. Now look at verse 13. Not having received the promises, that is, not having received the fulfillment of the promises, they received the promises. God promised Adam and Eve the seed of woman. But they never saw Him. They never saw Him. God promised Abraham a country, but he never dwelt in it. He lived in tents. He never did possess the land that God promised him. Did he? Never did. He never owned a square foot. He never built a mansion or a plantation. He sojourned through it. Jacob talked about Shiloh. He never saw him. He said Judah. He told his son Judah. He's blessing his son Judah. He said, Judah. Judah wasn't a king either. Then there were no kings in Judah's household either. But he said, Judah, the scepter shall not depart from you till Shiloh comes. He never saw Shiloh. But God gave him the promise. Moses never saw that prophet. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, he said, God's going to raise up from the midst of you that prophet. That prophet, and him you shall hear. He'll tell us all things that God would have us know. Never saw him. Never saw him. But he received the promise. Isaiah never saw the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Isaiah never saw the tender plant, the root out of dry ground. He wrote about him. He never saw the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. Never saw him. These all died in faith. Look at verse 13. Not having received the fulfillment of the promises, but having seen them afar off. This is faith. This, my friend, is faith. Somebody said, well, seeing is believing. No, believing is seeing. Look at verse 1. Faith is the substance, it's the ground, it's the confidence of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen, whom having not seen, you love. I tell you, these men, they believed the Word of God. And I'll tell you, we have seen the fulfillment of the seed of woman. He has come. That happened. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. We've seen that. We've seen this fulfillment of the man of sorrows acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was in the world, and the world knew him not. The world crucified him. He came to his own received him not. We've seen the fulfillment of the perfect life. This man hath done nothing amiss. Even his enemies said that. This man hath done nothing. We've seen the serpent lifted up on the pole. Moses lifted it up, but he never saw the fulfillment. We've seen it, Ronnie. We've seen the serpent lifted on the pole, bruised for sin. We have seen the scapegoat laid in the tomb. These men wrote about it, but never saw the fulfillment. We've seen him rise from the grave, the firstborn of every creature. The disciples stood and watched him go to heaven. But there's a lot we haven't seen. We haven't seen him come back, and he's coming. I've never met anyone or shaken hands with anyone who was buried and rose from the grave. Have you? Never have. Never have. The new heaven and new earth I haven't seen. But I'll tell you this, with the same faith that Abel brought that sacrifice to a Redeemer he had never seen but whom he believed, I bring my sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him who died for my sin. You want to see my sacrifice? Look at Calvary. There's my lamb. There's my sacrifice. I believe God. I believe the promises of God. My high priest, all these people back here, they went to the tabernacle and put the blood on the mercy seat. I have an altar. It's Christ. I have a mercy seat. It's Christ. I have a high priest. It's Christ. And just with the same faith that these men here, the same faith they had, that's what I believe. Not having seen all of these things fulfilled, but I've received them in promise. And look, how does faith affect their lives? This will be the last point. Look, how did it affect their lives? Verse 13, they died in faith. Not having received the fulfillment of all the promises, but they seen them. How did they see them? By faith. That's how they saw them. They saw them by faith. And how did it affect them? Number one, they were persuaded of them. I preached the funeral of John Horan's sister day before yesterday in Huntington. And the Lord blessed us. The Lord gave us a good service. He blessed me to preach as much liberty as I've had in a long time to preach his wonderful gospel. And the mortician put the body of John's sister, Lois, in the hearse. And we made that long drive to the cemetery. We drove up, parked in front of this building, this mausoleum, this big chapel. And I always lead the procession. The body and pallbearers come behind me. And I walked in that place. And I told the people this. When I walked in, there was a dampness and a deadness and a coldness. Those old cold marble floors and all of these drawers with bodies in them. The whole place full of bodies and a dim light. I felt cold. I felt damp. I felt depressed. I felt, is this the end? Is this the last chapter of the book? If you look around you, you'll have to say that. But I stood up there and opened this book, and the light shone. The light shone. Here's my hope. And I asked them, what's yours? Is that place for you, is that your final resting place, that dark, damp, cold, eerie, lifeless, dead place? Not mine. I'm persuaded that I'm coming out of the grave by His grace. These men were persuaded of it. They died in faith, persuaded that death wasn't the end. And what they do, not only persuaded, but they embraced it. They were persuaded of God's promise. They embraced God's promise, and what else? They confessed it. As for me and my house, we're going this way. As for me and my house, we're going to walk with God. As for me and my house, we're going to worship God. As for me and my house, we're going to enthrone and exalt Jesus Christ. That's the way I'm speaking now for the whole Mahan kit and caboodle. We won't worship God. We're going to look to Christ. That's me and my house. How about you? I'm persuaded of the promise. I've embraced the promise. I publicly confess the promise. Christ. Now look. And they confess that this whole world was not their home. They're strangers here and pilgrims on this earth. I'm not putting my roots too deep here. I don't intend to stay. Passing through. They plainly say, they declare plainly, they're looking for a country. I'm not ashamed to say that He's gone to prepare a place for us. And I'm looking for a country. And look at this. They could have turned back, but they wouldn't. Listen. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out,
if that's where their hearts really were. If they really, like, you know, Lot's wife is an example. She really never left Sodom. She really never left. God said, this place is marked for destruction. This place is marked for destruction. Leave and don't look back. And she left along with Lot and the daughters, but she got up on the hill and her eyes went back to where her heart was. And God destroyed her. These people, if their hearts had been still in that idolatrous country, in that old works religion, they could have gone back. But boy, when they saw Christ, it never entered their mind to look back. See, looking back, it's not just looking out of curiosity. It's not just looking back. It's looking back with a yearning. That's what killed Lot's wife. It wasn't the look. It was why she looked. And I tell you, when a person sees Christ as the fulfillment of every promise, of every prophecy, of every pattern, of every day, of everything, he doesn't ever look back with longing. To where he came from. Isn't that right, Cecil? He may look out of curiosity to see what they're doing, see what they're saying, but he never looks with desire because he's found, my beloved is mine and I'm his. And if they'd been mindful of that country or yearned for that country or desired to be back in that country, they could have had opportunity to go back. That's what our Lord said to his disciples. He said, will you go away? Also, they said, we don't have any place to go. We believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed them. And they never turned back. Never turned back. And they died in faith. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. I'm one of these old timers that I like so well, number 510.